We'll be reading from John chapter 18 on page 904 from verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he, so if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?"
Let me pray. Lord God, as we come to your word, having just had it read, and as we continue to read it in the light of what we're about to think about together, please, would you cause the joys of the day, the troubles of our lives, the concerns of our world, to, if possible, Lord, fall away from us now. And if that is too much, Father, if so great are those troubles or so powerful those joys, would you enable us, as we meditate upon your truth, to view ourselves, each other, and this our world in the light of who you are? Speak to us now as the God who spoke stars into space. Stoop to us as a loving Father and address us as your children, we ask it. For we do so not for our good alone, but for your glory and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, the goal of this short talk as we join here together this afternoon is to reflect on that passage that Gwenan has just read for us, this opening to the account of Jesus' sufferings and death at the end of his life. But it is also to try and enable us to have a lens through which we can reflect on what we're going to be reading for the rest of our time together. We're going to be working through chapters 18 and 19. And as we've already said, having quiet pauses to think, to apply to ourselves, to hold up our own hearts and minds in the light of what God says. And so, Lord willing, there is something here for us, not only from these verses, but for what is to come. Because as we read this opening account of this concluding high point of John's gospel, we really stand at the mouth of the dark. The death of Jesus is what the whole of this gospel, in fact, the other three gospels, the other three contemporary accounts of Jesus' life, that is what they all head towards. And in John alone, he has spoken, Jesus, of the hour for which he has come, repeatedly, like a drumbeat. This is now that hour. This is the point at which he is to be lifted up. This is the point at which John the Baptist, all the way at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, was speaking of when he pointed to Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." You see, on this Passover evening all those years ago in Jerusalem, as we, as it were, stand in the garden and in the flickering torchlight, behold the man, as Jesus, even as we've just read, steps forward voluntarily, we're to ask ourselves, well, who is this person? Who do we see? What is going on in this moment? And I want to focus on a thing that might surprise us slightly. On a day when we're thinking about the death of a man, tortured cruelly and hung on a cross as a criminal, I want us to actually think about his authority. His surprising authority, what we might term the surprising authority of Jesus' love. I mean, we have an at best uneasy relationship with authority right now, don't we? As humans in history. We may well be afraid of the authoritarianism that can seem so triumphant in the world. We could look at the authority figures, real or held up by others, with a combination of disdain or fear or uneasy following, maybe even a wholehearted embrace. We could insert our own nationality right here as we sit. And as I look out, we have many people from many nations around the world gathered here. But as we all come together to Jesus today, we see an unparalleled authority that is born out of love. And as we consider two angles of this, what we're going to see is that this little engagement now at the beginning of Jesus' death summarizes much of what John has already said, and actually I hope will point forwards to what is to come. And the first thing to consider is the authority of Jesus' own self-humiliation. Now, that might already sound like a really odd phrase. If you think of humiliation, you think of something that is imposed upon somebody else. We speak of a sports team being humiliated because they've just been thrashed. But here we see Jesus embracing a profound humiliation. And in fact, all through the gospel, all through this little book, we have an account of that. For from the very opening page, it is announced that here is the one who is God himself, the one who has come from above, the one who is light in the darkness, because the one from above has stepped down into our own fragility, into our own brokenness, into our own death, ultimately. And he has done so voluntarily, willingly, freely. Maybe you noticed, even as Gwenan read, the emphasis on Jesus being in control. Do you see that in verse 1? Jesus had spoken these words, referring to the Last Supper he'd had with his disciples. He chooses where he's going. Verse 4, we've got knowledge and action and speech, knowing all that would happen to him. Jesus came forward and said to this band of soldiers who've come with torches, with weapons, with evil intent, he says, well, who do you seek? He knows who they're looking for. But he willingly walks into that darkness. Here is the one with all the authority of the heavens and the earth, submitting to the rule of man. And actually, if you were to read John's gospel for yourself, you would see that in every line that he speaks, in every act that he does, in every step that he takes, in every touch that he renders. Here is the one who has all authority, and yet in love and for love and from love moves towards those who actually by nature would have nothing whatsoever to do with him. It's perhaps most obvious here in one of the most surprising moments in this whole account of Jesus' life. Maybe again you clocked it as we read. Who do you seek? Verse 4, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. It's a normal name from a backwater place. Jesus said to them, I am he. Now, Jesus' grammar was perfectly good. It's rendered clumsily for us because literally Jesus just says, I am. Something he said throughout John's gospel. The one other place he says it, just I am. The religious leaders pick up stones to kill him because he is claiming nothing other than that he is equal with the God of the Old Testament, with Yahweh, the great I am. And now here he is, faced by soldiers, faced by a friend who has walked with him for 3 years and now betrays him. Jesus steps forward. What does he say? I am. And look with me at what they do. They drew back and fell to the ground. These men, do what every single creature throughout the whole of the Bible does when they meet with the divine. Their knees are cut out from beneath them, and they fall to the ground. And before we consider that response, I just want to ask the question of us today. As we see the God of the universe made flesh, humbling himself, why would he do that? Why would this one who can command the legions of heaven willingly step forward to a little band of creatures whom he breathed into existence? Well, it's because of that verse we read right at the start of our service. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. The love of the Father is a giving love. The love of the Son is a self-sacrificing, serving love that knowingly walked into suffering for people like you and people like me. And as we read through this account, we will see that over and over again. Jesus gives and he gives and he gives. And he trusts and he trusts and he trusts. And he always has the authority and he is never caught out. And he always calmly embraces the mockery, the suffering, the confusion, all for the love of the Father and all for the love of those for whom he came. Here's a few lines from later Bible writers that reflect on this truth. Hear how they describe what and why he did. He who was rich became poor so that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus Christ, who though he was equal with God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, clung onto, but made himself nothing, humbling himself even to death on a cross. Peter, the one of whose denial we're about to read, after his restoration, writes, "The righteous suffered for the unrighteous to bring us to God." And our same writer, John, not too long before his death, wrote to the churches saying, "In this is love, that though we did not love God, he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins." So as we reflect now, as we read in the coming moments, let's praise the Father for his Son, the unique authority of love. But the second thing, and more briefly, that I want us just to dwell on in our hearts and minds is the response of mankind. You see, what we see here is a response from mankind before the revealed glory and divinity of Jesus Christ. On one level, we could say these men who have come to arrest God incarnate actually respond rightly as he steps forward. They drew back and fell to the ground. Jesus himself has to take the initiative again. You can imagine them on the ground, groveling. Maybe they don't even know why. And Jesus, directing his words downwards, asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" You see, as they are humbled, though they do not humble themselves, we see a response to who God is in Jesus Christ. I remember a family member having a really bad nightmare one night. And when I first went to comfort them, it actually only made it worse. I don't blame them. Who's this giant kind of shambling gorilla who's come to try and comfort me? It was only when they'd come to a little bit, heard my voice, clocked who I was, knew that I loved them and was there to save them, as it were, then they were calm. At this point, all we see is fear. All we see is a humbled state. And as we go on through this gospel account over these coming hours, don't worry, minutes, we will see different responses. We're going to see a man who so ignores Jesus' claims that he strikes him. The sort of response that Jesus' brother James will later say even demons have, that they know who Jesus is, but they shudder and they rage against it. We're going to see Pontius Pilate, fascinated by Jesus, fearful even of Jesus. but not putting faith in Jesus. We'll see Peter, dear Peter, who is such an encouragement to us failing Christians, because so often we think, yeah, we would have been in his shoes, denying Jesus, fleeing from Jesus. But then as we read on through, we see the women trusting Jesus, sticking with Jesus. Later on Sunday, as we think of Jesus' resurrection, believing in Jesus, testifying to Jesus. That is where ultimately John wants us to get to. That is where Jesus wants us to get through. The big word in John is belief. Believe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Follow Jesus. And that's a challenge as we follow along with Jesus now on his way to the cross. It is a way of suffering. It's a way that the world does not understand. The darkness has not comprehended it, John says at the beginning of his gospel. But wonderfully, the darkness has not overcome it, because Jesus has come to give life. As he willingly lays down his life, and we read that in stages today, he is doing so that we, who outside of him are spiritually dead, may have the very life of God, the very life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what do you make of Jesus today? It's a question I've asked myself. As someone who's followed Jesus for a number of years now, who has had the privilege of standing and talking about and proclaiming Jesus for many years, who do I make of him? Maybe you're here today as someone who's not a believer in Jesus Christ, but you're looking in on Christianity. You might be in the furious category, like some of those we'll meet. You might well be in the fascinated category. You're gripped by Jesus, but you don't know why. Let me encourage you today, as we consider the cross, as you witness people who believe in Jesus taking bread and wine, why not believe in him today yourself? He died for you if you would have him. He would ask us to believe. What about the many here who are Christians today? What about you? Belief in John is not just a one-off, but it is something he calls us to day by day by day. The life we have has started now and will stretch on into eternity future. Today, the call, as we view our own suffering Savior, is to believe, to trust, to follow. We all have our own crosses to bear. Jesus himself is clear on that. I know some of the crosses in this room. Many are unknown to me, or maybe to anyone other than God himself. But the Lord Jesus, who suffered, suffered for you. He suffered that you may have his life. He walked into the darkness, knowing that ultimately he would walk out into the light, that which we will celebrate on Sunday. And his hand is there, and he will draw you through faithfully. So as we see the unique authority of love in Jesus' self-humiliation, as we see the unique offer of life through Jesus laying down his life, well, we can praise God, and we can ask him that he would work that humility, that life, that self-sacrificing power, even in our own hearts today. Would you join me in a quiet moment of prayer? I'll lead us in a short prayer after that, and then there will be something I invite you to say together with me. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray now, Lord, as we confess truth about him, and as we continue to sing of his death and hear your voice in Scripture, please, we pray, work belief and life in our hearts. And would you lead us after Jesus in the life that he offers? We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.